I want to greet you in Jesus' name. Am I on? I want to greet you in Jesus' name. That name that makes gathering here worth every second, right? So, be careful to speak words of what you're, and say things that you're not going to do, because that's what I said. That's something I did, and here's what I said. I said, I'm not preaching this morning, but here I am. So we were planning to help with the cleanup last evening, and someone said that that's going to be a late evening. I said, that's okay. I'm not preaching this morning. But I'm here, but I did not help with the cleanup. Thank you for being gracious there. Had to opt out there last minute. So many of you students could have come up here and shared wonderful things that I would have just loved to be able to sit down and hear. And I'm sure we could have spent the next hour doing that. So how will you keep what God has done in your heart? How will you keep what you've got? Let's just have a word of prayer here before we go any further. Father, here we are. Thank you so much that though all hell should come against us, you will never, never forsake that soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your promise to us. Now I pray that you would show us what our part is. We know that you will never forsake us. Thank you, Lord. So help us as we look into your word to see what our part is that enables you to fulfill your part. Lord, we look to you and we thank you that you have all that we need. Thank you that you are able. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we can ask or think this morning. Thank you, Lord. We give this time to you and we pray that you would just open our eyes to see your ability this morning. Amen. So I want to use a verse or several verses in the book of Jude for a text this morning. At the beginning of these verses, it says benediction. some very familiar verses. Verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. I like that ending. Now notice, it does not say unto you who are able to keep yourselves from falling. What does it say? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Unto him. There we have the answer. So, who is he that is able to keep us? What is his name? Yes, it's the Lord Jesus. And when he keeps us, we don't have to be afraid of losing what he has given us. In his love, all fear is cast out. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Hallelujah. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, not only is he able to keep us from falling, Let's look at the verse again in Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and what? And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, when we dismissed for discipleship class, I pointed out that one verse about being faultless. Did you look at that verse? So, do you feel faulty this morning? Do you feel your need? He is able to present you faultless. What enables him to do this? He doesn't do it against our will, does he? So, I cannot keep myself from falling. I cannot present myself faultless. Is that right? So what can I do? If he is the one doing the keeping, then what is my part? And how should I, as the one who is being kept, respond to the one who is keeping me? Okay, well, let's back up in Jude here a little bit. A couple verses before this. Jude is writing here. He says in verse 20, he says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." So there is something that we can keep ourselves in, according to that verse, right? What is it? The love of God. What a place of security. What a place of power. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Do you realize that if there would be one second of the failure of God's mercy, this place will go up in smoke. Me included. Each one of us right here. The devil knows that. And he does not want us to see God's mercy. He does not want us to stay in that place of keeping ourselves in God's love, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He does not want you and I to see that. So, sometimes we make missions our priority. And that is what motivates and drives us. But Jude, when he wrote this, did not make a mistake when he put the verses in the sequence that he did. Let's go on here. Verse 20 and 21 we read. Now let's read verse 22 and 23. Out of that position of keeping ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, out of that position, that secure position, of which no man can pluck you, then out of that, of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. As we keep ourselves in that love, out of that will flow the power and the ability to reach out and to have compassion. Out of that will be the ability to have compassion on those that are lost and to save some with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Out of that will be the ability to hate the garment spotted by the flesh, to keep ourselves pure and unspotted from the world and the flesh. So don't get those verses mixed up in their sequence. So, Look back to the first verse that we looked at there. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. So we looked at those two things there. Present you faultless. Faultless before what? Faultless before the presence of his glory. With what? Exceeding joy. Faultless before the presence of his glory. So the other morning, the children woke us up fairly early, several mornings this week, and you know, the flesh likes a little more sleep, but we had some good times some of those mornings. One of those mornings I read, well, actually, during the night there I had a little dream about, it just seemed like, yeah, it was dark and everything lit up, and I knew immediately, Jesus is coming. And the truck that I was driving, the transmission had been having some issues, and that was not even in my mind anymore. It was gone. Didn't matter. So the brightness, the sky lit up, and the brightness of his coming came to my mind. Where is that verse? Thessalonians. I had written it down here. It says that in Thessalonians, if I can find it here. Yes. And then, he's talking about the man of sin, he's going to be revealed and everything. And then, shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now you and I, when he comes, have the privilege, and it's his desire, to present us faultless, to keep us till that day, and to present us faultless, and to present us faultless in the presence of his glory. That same glory that will destroy this man of sin, this wicked man of sin. Wow. What a standing is ours. And he wants to do that and give us exceeding joy in the middle of it. So, exceeding joy. What verses does that remind us of here this morning? Okay, some very familiar verses in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. You want to be glad with exceeding joy? Welcome the trials. Be okay with them. There's a purpose in them. It's because God loves you. And he will keep you through that. What is our responsibility? We just keep ourselves in what? In the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So, there is an accuser. We have an enemy. Revelation 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. He's working 24/7, day and night. He's working at keeping the brethren downcast, if you will. Bring accusation that keeps us downcast. He wants us, and he is working at trying his best to keep us limited to a belief in God equivalent to his. James chapter 2, verse 19. The devils believe there's one God. They tremble. Why? Mercy for them is not an option. He does not want it to be an option for us. He does not want us to see it. He does not want that love and mercy to be revealed to us. And he's working hard to put blocks into place that blinds us to God's love and mercy. What do we call those blocks? There's one three-letter word. A lie. To the degree that I receive and agree with those lies that he brings, those accusations, to that degree, he blinds me. So, let's look at Genesis, the last verse in Genesis chapter 3, it's verse 24. You know, Adam and Eve, they had gotten something, God had given them something, and they lost it. How did that happen? What happened that they lost it? They believed the liar, right? They received and agreed with him. And when we do that, we are agreeing against who? Against God. Against the truth of who God is. And that is, we call it sin. And sin stands between us and God. It blocks. So, the last verse, verse 24 in Genesis chapter 3. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. A flaming sword that turned every way. Now, that sword was there to keep the way of the tree of life. So what did Jesus say to Thomas when Thomas was saying there in John chapter 14, you know, how can we know the way? We're not sure. You know, what are you trying to say? You're saying we know the way. Jesus said, in verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I think you students probably heard that verse this past week. So there, Jesus said he is the way. Now what does it say there in that last verse, verse 24 in Genesis? It says that God put there to keep the way of the tree of life. A flaming sword which turned every way. Every way. Every way you would try to get around that sword, it would turn that way. There is no way around it. It will turn your way as you seek to get to the tree of life. It's a fiery sword. It can consume. Now, I really can't explain this very well. I'm sure Brother Paul Lamasella could give us a very good explanation here. But if that were the only thing that would be there, then there would be no hope for you and I, as I see it. But that's not the only thing. God says that he placed cherubims there as well. And I'm not sure what all this means, but what do we see above the mercy seat? What is it let's just read. I'll just read some verses in Exodus chapter 25, verse 16 through 22. This is God's instruction to Moses. And he said, thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I will give you. And you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And you shall make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them. In the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the one end and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the two ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one toward another, like this, one toward another, covering the mercy seat. Another one over here, covering the mercy seat. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. That mercy seat is there for you and I. The devil does not want us to see it. Now, in that position, God says, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, says, I will commune with thee. Let me back up. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. God, what would happen if God would commune with us in any other way other than through His mercy? Wow. We would be gone in a moment, wouldn't we? Because we have broken the testimony which is inside that ark, the commandment. So, Psalm 99, verse 1, the Lord reigns, it says, let the people tremble. He sits between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. Lamentations, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's a very familiar song that we sing a lot. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's His goodness and His mercy that leads us to repentance, isn't it? Romans 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Our enemy does not want us to see the goodness and the mercy of God. So, remember, what is our part? Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Unto eternal life. Our part, keeping ourselves in the love of God. Such a place of security. And if we keep ourselves there, Jesus promises us, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. The enemy wants to rob us from that position. He doesn't really care if we make reaching out to others our motivation that drives us. You know, in Matthew, see here, I had it written down. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I might not have printed all my notes here, but that's okay. So, what is God's word like? Jeremiah, it says that God's word is like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So if the devil has put a block into my life to keep me from seeing the mercy and the goodness of God, How do you think that will affect my ability to embrace that alive, powerful, and all-consuming sword, flaming sword that is keeping the way of the tree of life? See, when I believe God's goodness and His mercy, then I'm okay with allowing Him to consume that man of sin, if you will, in my life that I've been enslaved to. And I am okay with meeting that sword because God's mercy is there too. His mercy has been, you know, it says about Jesus that He came and He was full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Not just truth. He is truth as well. But if we really want to experience the grace, we need to embrace the truth of who He is. That flaming sword that will change us, begin to change us, and burn up with the brightness of it and the sharpness of it will very clearly and distinctly work in our hearts and change us and make us into what God wants us to be. Redeem us. It's the story of redemption. So, the keeper of the way, that sword, that flaming sword. Many, it says, and these are some of the saddest words that I think we could read in the Bible. The judgment scene there Jesus just said it, that many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? We've done this, and many good works in your name. Didn't we do that in your name? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. You see why Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves there. That's the place of knowing who God is. In that place, we get to know who God is. To get to that place, we need to embrace that sword and allow that sword, that flaming sword, to do its work. And allow that man of sin to be revealed in us now, while the mercy is available. The day is coming when the brightness of His coming will destroy that wicked one. But today, we find ourselves at the place where God's mercy and His love is available to us. And keeping ourselves there, in that place, is a place of security that no man can pluck us from. Now, unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before His presence, before the presence of His glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. I think that's just a really good place to stop. He is able to keep us. Let us keep ourselves in His love. Father, thank You for Your word here this morning. And like Tim said, it was a few words. But Lord, just pray that You would just take the truths of Your word, Lord, not exactly as I have said it, Lord, as You mean it. Lord, You know I didn't say everything right this morning, but You can say the right things into our hearts right now. And You can show us really who You are, who Your love and mercy is. And give us the grace, open our eyes, O Lord, to see Your love and Your mercy, Your goodness that leads us to repentance. And Your keeping ability, Your keeping power, Your ability to keep us faultless, to present us faultless, and to keep us from falling. Oh, deliver us, O Lord, from trying that ourselves, presenting ourselves faultless by some other means, other than keeping ourselves in Your love and mercy. Lord, you deserve all the glory and the honor and the praise, both now and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Abner, for those words out of the Scriptures. I love these action words here in these couple verses, verse 21 and 22, or 20 and 21. Build, pray, keep, and look. Build up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God and looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Incredible words. I'm going to open it up here for a couple of minutes. If anyone has a testimony, something on your heart you want to share, a word of encouragement for us, there's a hand over here, or confession, just raise your hands if you have something. One up here.
I just want to say thank you for the message today. I had an experience this week where accusation was present and I didn't realize what it was. And I just want to testify that God delivers us from accusation. One evening after we had gone to bed, my husband asked what I'm feeling, and I said, nothing. I just felt absolutely blocked. I didn't know why. And he asked, he said, well, it must be something. And so I said, well, I guess I feel sort of blocked between God and between you and I. And I didn't know what it was. And he just said, well, he thinks he knows what it was, and what it is, and he started praying. And just that quick, it just lifted the cloud. The accusation just left.
Hallelujah.
And I had just started wondering if it was something I did wrong. I just didn't know what it was, but it was obviously accusation. So I just thank God that there's freedom.
Thank you, Lord. Someone else have the microphone? If not, that's fine. Just remember these words as we go today, that He is the one that can present us faultless. That's an incredible thing to think about. Blameless, I believe it says there in Colossians. Faultless. Before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Hallelujah.